The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 30, 31, and 32. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The apostle, in writing his epistle to the church at Corinth, has many things to say to them. We read in the early chapters, and also as those chapters continue, that there were divisions among them. And those divisions were really moving away from the true principle of all things, that is, Christ. And looking at the word before us, for this cause, we have to refer to the last few words of the previous verse, not discerning the Lord's body. This, in just a few words, is the cause of the low state of Zion today, not discerning the Lord's body. There is plenty of natural religion, plenty of that religion that the apostle had to speak against very forcibly when he wrote to the church at Corinth. But there is little of real religion in the world for this simple reason. There is not a discerning of the body of Christ. We find the apostle speaking in the first chapter, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Now, shall we not immediately reply that Christ is not divided? That he is one. There is only one Christ. The Corinthians were taken up with what we might call eulogizing beyond what was convenient, this and that person, and to the detriment of others. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? So you can see the trend of things at Corinth in those days. You can see the same trend in the churches of God today. There are those that are for one, and there are those that are for another. But all this is so much a lack of not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's body is a body of love, and this is that is not deserved. Principally, the Lord's body can be set before us in the fullness of the law itself. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and so on. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that is a comprehension of the Lord's body. The Lord Jesus, in his life, in his death, set forth love. Love for his church, which was his body. In that sense, he loved that which was most proximate to himself. And that was the body, as it is connected and close to the head. The Lord discerned that body himself in his life and in his death, as he laid down his life for his body, the church. Now, first of all, in discerning the Lord's body and relating it to what we read in the description of the Lord's Supper, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." We should consider that the love that the Lord himself had to his church when he died upon Calvary. It was for this reason that he instituted the Lord's Supper, that his love in dying for his body of the church should not be forgotten. How easily we do forget. How easily we shall forget. And maybe we should not have to go outside of ourselves to know how quickly these things are forgotten. But there is also a discerning of the body of the Lord in this sense, as it refers to the Church of God. The next chapter tells us very much about the composition of the body. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, "Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, "Because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" And so he goes on to show the necessity of one member to another. And also says this, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Discerning the Lord's body. Now, if we discern the Lord's body, each member of his body, are we a member of that body? We make our profession, but are we a member of that body? Then there will be love in our heart toward every member of that body. But that love is to be distinguished from a carnal love. In the present day, there has been a great deal of degeneration. And people's love is the love of the world. That is, the Word of God is discarded. It's not what God says and thinks, it's what we think. And there is no discerning of the Lord's body in a spiritual way. We may well turn to the Ephesians, or we may turn to any part of the Word of God, and particularly Paul's epistles as he enlarges upon the importance of love to the body. and to the head also. In the Corinthians, he speaks of the head of the church. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So then we see the principle of the working and the edifying of the body of Christ, which is the church, and which we need to discern, that it is bound together in love. Now that being so, of necessity, it will be needful for us to put ourselves last. Last. And certainly, we shall have to put Christ first. Now, we might just refer your attention to further verses in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Now, if we have learned Christ, there will be a discerning of the body of Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may render minister grace unto the hearers. Now it is because there is such little attention paid to these parts of the scriptures that the Church of God is as it is today. It's no use people complaining about the low state of Zion when they themselves may well be a contributor to the low state of Zion because of a lack of deep concern and the exercise of grace and faith in their hearts to this end. Now, the word before us, not discerning the Lord's body, because these things, and the things which I have read to you from Ephesians, speak to us about love to one another. You see, if we love one another, discerning the body of Christ, the church of God, then we shall want to do those things that will promote our spirituality. And if we are guilty of doing those things which do not promote our spirituality, then we are responsible for the low state of Zion as it is today. Now the apostle goes on to say, not discerning the Lord's body for this cause, because there is a failure to discern the Lord's body, a failure to consider with love in one's heart to the Lord, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. It is very noticeable in the present day that there are many that are weak in the faith. They do not seem to get any farther than being babes, as it were. And so the apostle found it in the church at Corinth. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with meat, with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? Well, the word of God will speak to us and does speak to us. We do not have to add anything to the word of God to show us where we stand and the reason why the church of God professedly is as it is today. For this cause many are weak. How little there is in the present day of that faith which takes hold upon Christ. Why is it? It's because there is not a discerning of the body of Christ. The Lord's body. Love in the church. Love to Christ first and love to one another after. Not with a natural love, but with a spiritual love. It is said, and rightly so, we love him because he first loved us. And the church of God loves the church of God because they were first, each individual member, were loved of God. And that's why they love one another. And they desire to do those things which God has set down in his holy word. And there are many are weak. Oh, how sad it is that this may appear broadly, and we cannot be free from ourselves. We should be foolish indeed if we were to say, well, we're all right here, because we're not, are we? You've only got to examine the matter. It fills my heart with sadness many a time, because I can see this work, this very word, move worked out in some of you, and I feel sad. Oh, that the Lord would wonderfully appear and arise, and grant that we may be truly built up a spiritual house, offering spiritual sacrifices unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, for this cause many are weak. Weak in faith, and they're weak in hope, and they're weak in love. And because they're weak in love, they're weak in love to the church of God, they're weak in love to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And therefore, there is a division in the mind. There are those that will love the world and also love Christ. And we can't have it that way. Because if this is what we attempt to do, then without any doubt we shall be weak. The things of God will be held with a light hand, and we shall not be able to do those things which we would desire to do, because we are weaker. The world, the flesh, and the devil are the trinity of evil that weakens the church of God. And the apostle here uses this word many. For this cause not discerning the body of Christ and all that that means, the love which joins it together. For this cause, many are weak, and many are sickly among you. Now you see, dear friends, it does not say sick, but it says sickly. Now this is what we might call an intermediate stage. We may be sick, naturally, but there are many times when we are sickly. That is, we are out of sorts. We have a loss of appetite. We're not exactly sick, but we are sickly. Now, when we are not discerning the body of Christ, we shall find in coming to the Word of God, in coming to the house of God, we shall have no appetite. You see, it doesn't matter how good the table is spread. Naturally, if we've no appetite, we are sickly. And how many in the professing church of God today are in this place? They say there's no power in the ministry. There's no power in the pew. You see, the gospel may be set forth. But if you've no appetite, if you're sickly, then you'll have no desire for it. You'll turn aside from it, or you'll pick at it. Many, says the apostle, are sickly among you. And if we have no appetite, that soon has an effect upon the rest of our being. Because eating is essential to the activity and the general movement of every part of our bodies. Sometimes, and this of course is in the extreme stage, people have not been able to see so clearly. And it's often been because they have neglected themselves in their appetite. They've not eaten enough, and therefore they've automatically, as it were, become weak and have not been able to see. Now then, if we have no appetite for the Word, if we have no appetite for the preaching of the gospel, whatever we may say, then we shall not be in a position to discern the body of Christ. And you see, what is it that has caused us to have no appetite for the things of God? Has somebody slid in some poison somewhere? Has somebody brought a very tasty dish, which is nevertheless a worldly dish, though a lordly dish? And we thought, this looks nice. This looks nice. And it does look nice to the natural eye, the carnal mind. And it does appeal to the fleshly part of us. But that makes us sickly toward that which is the body of Christ, the church of the living God. And you see, you'll soon find that, this being so, your love to the people of God will diminish. And you'll make all sorts of suggestions that you don't like them anymore. Why have people gone away from the church of God? Why have they departed? Because they've been critical of those that live near the Lord, of those that love the Lord Jesus Christ with mind and heart. They've been critical, but only because they are themselves sickly, having no appetite, and that lack of appetite affecting the whole of their own being. So that they cannot see rightly. They do not hear clearly. And their heart is affected. And their heart is divided. So that they cannot enjoy anything. Oh, isn't it a sad day when we should sink so low? Maybe because of all the work of the devil And he does all he can to prevent you and me from discerning the body of Christ, discerning the glory of Christ, discerning the happiness that is in Christ, discerning the beauty of the church of God bound together in love, holiness, communion. Oh, he certainly does that. But for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you. So, this is not the end. And many sleep. Oh, it is a sad, sad sight when people sleep naturally in the pews. Whatever they say, you cannot say they've got an appetite. They may try to make you think so, but we've got to believe what we see, and actions speak louder than words. What is the situation? There is no discerning of the body of Christ, for he that eateth. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But there, we do not have to go to that extremity of being actually asleep under the hearing of the word. We can be asleep with our eyes open. And maybe we should be able to bear our personal testimony at times where we've been at the house of God. We've gone through the service, but we've been asleep. Because as soon as we've got outside, or as soon as we've got home, perhaps somebody said, well, what was the service about? What was the text about? What did the minister say? And we've been asleep. Because we couldn't say. We couldn't tell. And there are many sickly, are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Well now, how solemn it was for the church at Corinth. How solemn it is for the church anywhere. And how solemn it is for us if this could be leveled at us. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now you see, the cases before us are such that, speaking broadly, unless the Lord intervenes, the weak, the sickly, and the sleep, and the sleepers will be the last to say, is it I? When question came up as to who had betrayed the Lord, oh, from some, there was a ready inquiry, Lord, is it I? And Judas, the guilty one, was the last one to say, is it I? And so it is always. Those that are most guilty will be the last to say, is it I? Because they are weak and sickly and asleep. Nevertheless, coming to the next verse, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We read elsewhere, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Now, how often do you do that? Do you take it for granted that you're in the faith? When John Newton penned those lines, 'tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? He had been many years in the faith. It was not an experience that attaches to the beginner. It is that which attaches to those that are drawing near the end of their journey. Why? Because there was some cross-examination. If I am, why am I thus? Why this cold and lifeless frame? Hardly sure could they be worse who have never heard his name. And what was John Newton doing? Well, surely he had heard a word like this. For this this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And he began to feel, yes, that's just where I am. And yet he himself was lively, because he was anxious to know the thing that was right. He was anxious to know that he was not deceived after all. And the end of that hymn shows clearly the life of God was in his soul. He wasn't sleepy. Neither was he sickly. Neither was he weak, though he thought he was and felt he was. See, there were two points that he had to consider. Consider the lifelessness and dullness of his own heart and frame. And then he saw the darkness and the vanity and the wildness and the unbelief and the sin that he felt so acutely, and brought him to the point, can I deem myself a child? But then comes to this point. Yet I mourn my stubborn will, find my sin and a grief and thrall. Should I grieve for what I feel, if I did not love at all? Could I joy as saints to me, choose the ways I once abhorred, find a time of the promise sweet, if I did not love the Lord? Was he sickly? Was he weak? Was he asleep? And yet he was deeply concerned. And hearing a word like this pronounced to him, he would immediately say, that's me. That's me. I'm sickly. I'm weak. And I've often slept. But there was something that he felt. And he was so confused that he came to God and said, Lord, decide the doubtful case. Thou who art thy people's son, shine upon thy work of grace if it be indeed begun. And now you see, discern the Lord's body. Let me love thee more and more. If I love at all, I pray. If I have not loved before, help me to begin today. And this is discerning the Lord's body, loving the Lord. And the Lord says to his disciples and to us, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And in keeping of thy commandments, there is great reward. Now the commandments of the Lord are many. And one of the principal ones is just this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples when ye love one another. Now then, to love one another will be that loving one another when we have a single eye to the glory of God. When there is a coming before God continually. When we meet with one another, that we may seek to do only those things that are convenient, that we may come to the sanctuary, we may bow our head in prayer, that there may be a flowing together to the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then again, when we may meet with one another, whether it is by arrangement or suddenly, then will it not be that a prayer may go up, Lord, bless us together. Now then, this is important among Christians, discerning the body of Christ. We meet together. Does our heart go up, or are we sickly, or are we weak, or are we asleep? Or do we disregard the love of God altogether and say, well, we'll cut that out for the time being? No. If we are healthy, if we seek to love the Lord with mind and heart, there will be a secret prayer which goes up. Lord, bless us together. Let thy presence be felt Let thy name be glorified. Let us speak of the good things of the kingdom. Deliver us from every evil thing. I have a carnal heart. Let me not be a hindrance to the others, of those that shall destroy. One that shall destroy all the good that we might enjoy by my own carnality. Some of God's people have known what it is to sit silent, lest they might say something which would spoil the blessing of God upon the gathering of those that profess his name. Oh, then, we should also remember this, that there is a striking word in the Acts of the Apostles. They took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Now then, we can only walk in that way if we are discerning the body of Christ. Now, can people take knowledge of you every day and say that person's been with Jesus? You see, this is the distinguishing mark of the church and the world. They've been with Jesus. And they're blessed with a humble spirit. And they acknowledge God at every turn. They've been with Jesus. This is good for us to consider. The world took knowledge of them. The world takes knowledge of the Church of God, and that's the only way in which they can take knowledge of the Church of God, by observing that they have been with Jesus. If we turn to one of the Psalms, we shall find when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. That's what the heathen said. I said, that's what the heathen said. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And that being so, unless we are weak and sickly, and asleep, there will be those things that we shall want to tell in connection with just those few words. The Lord has done great things for us. Has he done great things for you? And are you going to put it all under a bushel and say nothing about it? Surely it is strange. Surely it is because there's something wrong. For if ye would judge ourselves, well, we should not be judged. Now, this self-judgment is a very important matter in Christian experience. We shall be blessed indeed if we judge ourselves. Now, we are guilty. We're bound to be guilty. We are sinners. But if we judge ourselves, then we shall have already assessed ourselves guilty before the Lord comes to us. So that when the Lord comes to us, we shall say, yes, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty unto me. Belongeth shame and confusion of faces. I'm guilty. This is one of the great benefits. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Nevertheless, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I might just take notice of this word, if we would judge ourselves. Now, some of you may feel, yes, if only I could. I need grace to judge myself. I believe it is quite true that there is a case against me, that I am weak in the faith, in love, and in everything, because I haven't the clarity of sight to discern the glory of the body of Christ, the body of the Lord. And I am sickly, because I've not the appetite that I should have. And I do sleep. Yet, Lord, give me grace to repent and to turn to the Lord and to seek that I may have a lively spirit, that I may have a good appetite, that I may long to sing the praises of him that died more fully, more clearly. For this cause, yes, for this cause. But for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And we shall not be judged by other people either. There was a case some years ago when a minister was placed over a certain congregation, and after a time there were some in the congregation that brought various charges against him. And the meeting was called, and the independent minister was asked to take the chair. And then the prosecution got up and they laid all these charges against the minister. And then the chairman, he said to the accused, he said, "What have you got to say?" Well, he said, "All I've got to say is this, that I haven't told you half. If they knew what I knew, I said, I haven't told you half." Why? They may have charged him with weakness, with sickliness, with sleeping. But he himself had been before his own bar. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." And he said, they haven't told you half. "I've brought myself in guilty on the points that they've said, but I've also brought myself in guilty on many other points as well." And the chairman said, There's no case. The man pleads, and he seeks forgiveness. There's no case. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who are walking in the flesh, but after the Spirit." We leave it for this morning. Amen.